Will you turn to the first epistle of John? I want to come onto the theme of our relationship with the Father and the Son. You know, I think sometimes that we miss the point of the coming of Jesus into the world. John's Gospel, or John in his Gospel, makes it very clear. Jesus said he came to reveal the Father. That's what he said. He said he even came in his Father's name. He said, it isn't me who's doing the works, it's my Father. It isn't me that's speaking to you, it's my Father that's speaking to you. The Lord Jesus Christ was so related to the Father that he ached, spoke, lived, died, that we might come into the same relationship that he was enjoying with his Father. And this, beloved, is the basis of so much. When the Holy Ghost comes, for instance, don't know whether you know anything about the coming of the Spirit to you personally. What he's meant to, what he makes you do is cry, not Jesus, Jesus, but Abba, Father. That's right. Jesus, when he was on earth, did not say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody goes to heaven when they die except through me. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. A vastly different thing. The angels can have heaven. The sons must have the Father. That's a tremendous thing for us to understand. The angels are heavenly beings. Just to think that earthly beings can go higher than the angels. We'll all opt for what the angels have. Jesus came that we might have what God has. What he knew. And that's the tremendousness of the real revelation. And in his epistle, I want to, just by taking three prepositions that are used concerning the relationship of ourselves with the Lord Jesus, and through Jesus, of course, to the Father, to see something of the wonder of what God has for us. In the second chapter first, then. That is 1 John 2, verse 20. You have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you, because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Now, I want you to understand in this context that Jesus is not speaking in neuter things. The tremendousness about Jesus is that he gave personality to things that otherwise would be abstract and neutral. Such as truth, he says, I'm the truth. Got there? Such as light, he says, I'm the light. Life, he says, I'm the light. And he says, in this context, he's really speaking of paternity. No lie is of the truth. The lie is of the devil. He says this. The devil is the father of the lie. He's on paternity. This is the tremendous thing for our hearts to understand. It's in the philosophical realm we're in. It's in the matter of who your father is, and this settles your eternal destiny. This is the thing that we'd like to say. Very, very important. No lie, and he's talking about people who are liars. In other words, if you look higher up, you'll find it in verse 18. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and that shows you're of Christ. We've been on this. That unction, that anointing, it's the anointing that is your Christing with the Christ. If it's not there, you're of the lie, you're of the devil, and you don't belong to God. And the anointing is the truth. You see how he worked it out? Speaking by the Spirit, the anointing is the Christ within you. Hallelujah. I'm taking the personal now and putting in the abstract. The abstract has to be personalized. Sorry, I don't want to get into mere philosophical approaches, but we've got to get this absolutely clear when we're reading this epistle. Listen, we might as well tear it out of the Bible. We've got to understand these things. No one's saying, oh, well, I don't know. You've got to. You've got to understand. No, you're not expecting to understand it all in the first 5 minutes, but you've got to understand it. And so we read on, and he says, who is a liar? Verse 22, but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ, he is Antichrist, that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Father, denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. Alright? My preposition is hath. Hath, possessive. We have to know that we have the Father. The precise reason for Jesus dealing with us is that he may alter our paternity. Our paternity decides our destiny. Keep that very clear. We've got to know that we have not a father. We've been going through something here this morning. And this little girlie, when she grows up, she will get hold of this man's trouser leg one day and she'll say, Daddy. And she'll know that he is her daddy. That's a parallel with the Hebrew word Abba, daddy. And she'll grow up and she will know this tremendous thing. You see? And then there'll come a time when she will hear Jesus speaking. And she will hear him saying, except a man leave his father and his mother. And she'll say, now, whatever does that mean? It means that by a decision and a definite act in her spirit, she will sever her linkage with the spirit generation that came through him to her naturally. Praise God. Doesn't mean to say she'll say, well, I'm going to get digs and live over the other side of the world. Doesn't necessarily mean that. But she will know as clearly as Jesus knew. You know that Jesus wasn't born of an earthly father. You know he was born of Mary. And there came a time when he said to her, woman, what have I to do with thee? And the sword pierced her soul, just like the angel said. Or the Holy Ghost said. The sword pierced Mary's soul, but she didn't understand. But he did it. He left his mother. Hallelujah. Glory. He didn't have an earthly father to leave. But he was in life with his heavenly father. Now this is the thing. She will do that. I've used this as an illustration. Praise God. But beloved, here then is where we must know our linkage. We've not got to have just a father of our flesh. We've got to have the Father. Yes. The Father. You must have the Father as your Father. Knowledgeably, definitely, irrevocably, eternally. It's on eternal fatherhood we're talking about. This is the tremendous thing. You teach your children to sing it, perhaps if they go to the right kind of schools, or they learned it at school. Eternal Father, strong to save. I don't know whether they know much about it when they sing it, but that's the tremendous sort of emotional background oftentimes in which our children are brought up. Talking about the restless waves and things like that. Great deal of patriotism about it. That's the mixture that goes in things, I'm afraid. But the Lord wants us to get this very, very clear. I have to know that I have the Father. Now, if you have the Son, you have the Father. You understand that? But your cry by the Spirit, who generates you into life, is Father. Abba, Father. Glory be to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Alright? Is that cry in your heart this morning? You'll have the Father. You not only talk about having a Savior, you talk about having a Father. The Father. And Jesus has brought you to the Father. I'm the way, he said. Well, all right. Which way did he come into the world? From the Father. That's right. Hallelujah. I'm the way. This is the way it's done. Woman, what have I to do with thee? And here he is. He's just the Father's Son. He's not Mary's Son anymore. He's the Father's Son. God wants us to understand this. Do you? You must have the Father. Now, not only must you know that you have the Father, but as you look down, you read this, 24. Let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall abide or remain or dwell, it's the same word, in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Amen. What is my relationship or position with the Father now? I am in him. You're in the place that Jesus could say, don't you know that I'm in the Father? That's what he said when he was on the earth. Don't you know, he says, I'm in the Father. How can it be that you don't know I'm in the Father? I'm so consciously in the Father. And the Father's in me. I have this Father. Praise the name of the Lord. You think of him in the 8th chapter of John. They bring a woman to him. She's taken in adultery. In the very act. She's a notorious character. Alright. They knew who they were bringing to trump up something against the Lord Jesus Christ. Possibly a harlot. I mean, I'm not running the woman down, but obviously. And they bring her in. And he deals with it all. It's all so tremendous. And finally, he's left alone with the woman. There you are. He's a man and she's a bad woman. But you know what he says lower down in the 8th chapter? The father's always with me. And his father with him. There. And his father with him. He wasn't alone with the woman. You see, he was in the father. And the father was in him. Glory. This is the tremendousness of it. Beloved, you've got to know you're in the Father and in the Son. Now then, this is it. You must know this, because this, verse 25, is the promise that he's promised us. Eternal life. You haven't got eternal life unless you're in the Father and in the Son. That's the promise. Amen. John defines it. John is speaking the promise of eternal life, the whole conception of this thing in the mind of God was that God should by the Spirit generate people into himself. Hallelujah. Bring them in the only way they could come in. The only way, no other way known to God. Come in. I'm in the Father. I'm in the Father. Hallelujah. That's the place for sons. In the Father. It's a marvelous thing. Do you see this? Do you understand this? Is this your experience? I have him for my paternity and destiny. I'm in him for my eternal life. Hallelujah. Not only is my destiny settled, but my position, my place. I'm in the Father and I'm in the Son. Oh, hallelujah. This is precious. But now, beyond that, because paternity has to do with things often that I don't know much about. Praise him. And my position is very wonderful, but there's another preposition which is very vital. And this time you go into the first chapter. And in the first chapter, we're told this, that verse 7, if we walk in the light, as he is. In the light we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That right? Now let's go to the first verse. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, we've seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. Hath the Father, in the Father and the Son, with the Father and the Son, for fellowship. Now fellowship, that God has taken me into his fellowship. Amen. This is a place of sharing. This is a place of the educating of my mind. This is the place of letting me into the secrets of the Godhead. This is the place where he unfolds his feelings to men, the secret desires of his heart. This is where the plans are discussed. This is where the will is made known. This is where the desires are broached and felt. Are you there? I said that the thing that has to do with my paternity, I could know very little about it, perhaps. Then I come to the place where I, when my destiny is settled, then I'm in the place where I'm in him. But wouldn't it be terrible to be in Rora if you were out of fellowship with all that's going on in Rora? You'd live as a stranger. You'd live in a cold attic somewhere, all cut off and isolated. If you're like that, that's your fault. But in God, in the fellowship, I'm in the fellowship. He's treating me as his fellow. As his fellow. God treating me like this. I'm with the Father and with the Son. I'm in fellowship with them in what they're doing. I'm in their spirit. I'm in their intention. God has really altered my destiny and paternity, I tell you. God has changed the place where I live. I don't live in myself. And I don't live in the world. And I don't live in sin. I can only die in all these places. I don't live in a denomination. I hate the thought. I believe God's out to destroy it all. I live in the Father, and I live in the Son, and I'm in the fellowship. I'm one with them. That's no compliment to God. God's not blessed because I say I'm one with you, Father, but I'm blessed to be able to know that I can say it. And I'm of it, and I've been generated from it, and I know I'm part of it. And this was the where I was conceived in the thought and life of God, and then actually in my conscious experience, I'm becoming alive to eternal things. Amen. I glory in him. I praise him. And as we walk in the light, beloved, as he is in the light, we have the fellowship one with another. And this is something we share with one another. When John wrote this book, he came up into the light with you about it, concerning and in it, to tell you the secrets that he knew. And I'm now in fellowship with you, if you'll have it. If you'll receive it, I'm telling you the secrets that God has made known to me. Sharing the life. Moving in the thing. And I got this from having fellowship with the Father and with the Son. And reading the Bible to have fellowship. That's why I read the Bible, not to learn. I read the Bible to have fellowship. I have fellowship with God. I have fellowship with John. I have fellowship with Paul. And then they just share to me their secret, with me their secrets. It's all so easy. It's all so simple. You move in this tremendous realm. We're all of the same spirit because Paul and John aren't dead. God isn't the Father of the dead, but of the living. Jesus told them that when he was on earth. He said, we're all living to him. Hallelujah. I'm not sure about this mystic sweet communion with those whose rest is one. That's not what I'm talking about. But I am meaning, beloved, that in the great life of God, moving in this tremendous realm. Now, beloved, all I'm doing with you this morning is sharing life. The life that I now live in the flesh. See, they all talk the same language. Paul, John, Peter, God, Jesus, all say the same thing. The Lord is leading us on, beloved. Who's coming? You going to stick where you've been up until this Whitsun? Or are you coming? No, you're going to stick to the old things. You're going to plod back along in the old paths, are you? I'm not. Except, of course, in the sense in which Jesus Christ, it is prophesied of him, that he came forth to the Father, he said, his goings forth have been of old, comings forth to me, and then he came forth to the Father through the Virgin's womb, in the same old paths of purity and righteousness and glory. And then he lived and walked and went back to Father. I'm the way. Amen. In these things are as old as eternity and as fresh as the morn. And the Lord wants us to know that we're living there. I ask you, there are many antichrists. They don't set out to be viciously antichrists, but in the way they're walking, the paths they're living in, the attitude they're taking, they're believing certain things and then leaving those that go too far. That's right. You see, they went up from us, said John. They used to gather with us once, and they went up. You say, sure, now don't call them antichrists. You don't know, don't be a judge. Well, you see, very clear. There are those, beloved, that want to go on with God. You'll find them everywhere. We've been gathered from different places here this morning. You've got to know that you have the Father and the Son in here. Eternal life lies between these two and the arrangement they made to redeem mankind. It all lies there. And then you've got to know that you're in the Father and in the Son by the Spirit. Hallelujah. That's a place of righteousness. That's a place of purity, isn't it? That's a place of cleansing. That's a place of glory, isn't it? That's the place of grace. That's the place of love, if ever there was the place of love. Hey, if my Father loves me, he says, even so love I you. That's right. Love one. And so we're with the Father and with the Son. And I can see old John as he takes up his pen or he dictates it to some amanuensis as he starts to reach out that which we saw, we've seen, we've heard. And we're writing these things to you that you might have fellowship with us. Amen. Our fellowship is with the Father, with the Son. Well, are you in this fellowship? I ask you, you're in or you're out? It's the most exclusive fellowship in the world, in the universe. But I want to thank God that God so loved the world as to make it an inclusive one too. Anybody can come in here. Will. You've got to leave everything for him. Amen. Praise God. And then the Lord will take you not only up, but he'll take you in, and he'll take you on. Praise his glorious name unto all the fullness of God. Amen.